When you think of events that change the world, it's always the big stuff that stands out. The assassination of the Archduke of Sarajevo, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, things like that. But there are smaller events, sometimes ones that go nearly unnoticed or entirely unnoticed, that can have just as profound an effect on the course of history. Like when Rosa Parks refused to sit in the back of that bus, or somebody in Wuhan came down with a virus that hadn't been seen before. At the time of those incidents, nobody knew how earth-shattering they would be. A scene I witnessed just 3 days ago might be one of those events. Hang on and I'll tell you about it.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
The location of this ongoing controversy is Burbank, California. The subject of it is the owner of a barn grill being crushed, pulverized by a vindictive, bullying bureaucracy. Decades ago, Burbank was a punchline for Hollywood insiders like Johnny Carson. Burbank was essentially the employee barracks for Warner Brothers and Disney Studios, both which make their home there. The houses were mostly small bungalows, and still are, not a lot of mansions. It was where the people that did the real work in movies, the grips and set builders and boom operators and artists and costumers, where they tended to live and raise their families. There was nothing hip, slick, or cool about Burbank. It was just a nice, solid, middle-class neighborhood close to those studios. Besides the studios, Burbank is dotted with small businesses, restaurants and boutiques and hair salons, and so on. One of those restaurants is called Tin Horn Flats. I've never eaten or drank there, but it seems to be a neighborhood favorite. It's a cowboy western themed, replete with swinging doors like an old-time saloon. Some say it's the oldest bar and grill in the city of Burbank. It is owned and operated by a man named Barrett Lepagian and his 20-year-old son, Lucas. And when the first curve-flattening stay-at-home orders were issued in March of 2020, he went along with them. He complied. After all, it was only for 15 days. Then when the extended lockdown orders were issued, he went along with those too. Finally, after about a year of restrictive lockdowns, he'd had enough. He decided to reopen his outdoor patio, where customers could eat and drink in the fresh air with plenty of elbow room and social distancing. Thousands of other restaurants were allowed to serve customers outdoors, but they did not do something Lepagian did. He spoke out. He voiced his contempt for the city of Burbank officials. Officials are essential, aren't they? Yes, they are. And then there is everybody else. Do they matter? Not so much. And if those everyday non-essential citizens express anything but obsequious and fawning deference and admiration to the essential officials, well then, they're going to have to be taught a lesson, punished. And that's what it appears the city of Burbank is doing to the owner of Tin Horn Flats. According to news sources, Lepagian's inflammatory, rebellious statement was, quote, "We will not comply with tyrannical rules and closures. The clowns," oh, that's it. Well, he called officials clowns. Betcha that's when they decided to show him who's boss. Once upon a time, public servants served the public. But they haven't called themselves public servants in ages, have they? And words do matter. Now they're officials. Essential officials. And in case you haven't noticed, lately it's the public's job to serve them. And to happily pay for their eye-popping salaries, benefits, and perks. But more on that in a little bit. LePagian said, quote, "The clowns at the Burbank City Council have illegally revoked our conditional use permit, and Los Angeles City has illegally revoked our health permit. I simply will never comply. I will never pay fines or penalties for crimes I never committed. I will take this to the Supreme Court if need be. I will not be bullied by a clueless state government and local city council that is basing everything strictly on fear and control instead of any health considerations." Unquote. Well, that statement is more than an insult, isn't it? That's insubordination, defiance, sedition. It could trigger an insurrection. So after they threw the bureaucratic ordinance at him with revocation of permits, they went for successively heavier artillery. They got physical. They ordered the utilities to shut off his power. He brought in a generator and stayed open. Then they padlocked his doors. He cut off the padlocks. Then they boarded up his front door. He removed the boards. Then they boarded it up again and piled a couple tons of sandbags against the door. When he started moving the sandbags, that's when the Burbank cops arrested him for tampering with city property. Sandbags, which were piled up on his property. Seems like the city workers who padlocked his doors and boarded them up and piled up sandbags, seems like they should have been arrested for vandalism, no? Finally, just a few days ago, I saw a video of something that blew my mind. In front of Tinhorn Flats were a whole bunch of cops and prowl cars, the kind of show of force you might expect for a hostage situation or maybe an active shooter. But that was not the case. They were there to provide muscle for a contracting company hired by city officials to completely enshroud the restaurant in narrow-gauge chain-link fencing. It looked very reminiscent of the nation's capital. Except this fencing went Washington, D.C. one better. The one in D.C. is kinda, sorta, temporary like you might see around construction sites, you know, where the stanchions are on square metal platforms. And hell, when you've got 10,000 heavily armed soldiers on guard, the fencing needn't be all that sturdy. But the city of Burbank, they drilled heavy-gauge metal fence poles deep into the sidewalk around the restaurant and then sealed them with concrete. Their fence is permanent. This is the big fuck you from the city. Woe unto he or she defies our authority. We will tell you what you may or may not do. And you, John Q. Citizen, you will bend the knee to us and fear us, or we will show you our limitless power. I checked Twitter and was absolutely repulsed, though not surprised, by the geyser of hatred and vitriol directed not at the city, but at the owners of Tinhorn Flats. One account in particular was clearly a sock account ginned up by somebody to abuse and damage the restaurant. There were dozens of posts about nothing but Tinhorn Flats, and every one had a gang of hashtags about racism and bigots. Huh? What the hell could those things have to do with this controversy? And who would go to the trouble of creating such an account and fueling it with a fusillade of lies? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? When I saw that fence go up, I had to see for myself, so I drove over to Burbank. When I arrived, there were about 36 people on the sidewalk. There was a small PA system set up playing patriotic country and western songs. A lot of folks were carrying American flags. As I walked toward the restaurant down Magnolia Boulevard, I had to step around an unconscious homeless person lying next to his shopping cart containing all his worldly possessions. This person was in plain sight of four cops in uniform standing near their squad car. Burbank cop cars used to bear the slogan, quote, serving our community with courage, integrity, and vision, unquote. They don't say that anymore. Just Burbank Police. When I reached the group, I spoke with an extremely nice young lady who held a flag, and after a time, I mentioned how astonished I was by the level of hatred I had seen on social media, not only directed at the owners of the bar and grill, but supporters such as she. I asked her why she and her colleagues were so hated. Here's what she told me.
I think they hate the idea that there's an agenda, like there's people that they cannot control. Like I've been doing, the first time I went to a political rally, it was on Juneteenth last year, and it was a Back the Blue rally, and I didn't know this, but there was a Black Lives Matter group showing up, and you can imagine a black female Trump supporter showing up with a Make America Great hat on her head, the reactions that got from the Black Lives Matter side. I lived in that neighborhood my entire life. That was the very first time I got called the N-word in my entire life. And it was on the Black Lives Matter side. That's not been the first time ever since. It's always on that side that claims to be racist. And every time that goes down, someone on my side always wants to go smack that person. I'm like, just let it go. If they want to behave like fools and idiots, that's on them. Unfortunately, it's their right. But it also shows what kind of a person they are.
How about that, The city of Burbank has been in full offensive mode, spinning the story to position themselves as the good guys. They actually had a page on their website just devoted to Tinhorn Flats and all the bad things it's been doing and all the good things they've been doing to keep the citizens of Burbank safe. I said had a page because it was deleted overnight. Maybe because what it actually did was chronicle the city's harassment and persecution of a small businessman. I hope somebody archived that page. The Tinhorn Flats defense lawyers could really use it. Burbank has a lot of city employees, one of whom is the public information officer named Simone McFarland, and she penned and published one of the most extraordinary announcements you've ever seen. Usually public information letters are about, road construction, new traffic lights, or council meetings, stuff like that. The gist of this letter is more like, here's why we as a group hate Tinhorn Flats and want it gone. Headline, Tinhorn Flats continues to violate court orders and endanger our community. Later on, she gathers some statements from her compatriots at City Hall. First up is a statement from the head honcho, City Manager Justin Hess, who says, quote, Tinhorn Flats continues to be irresponsible in their actions. They continue to care more about defying the court's orders than the health and safety of the community. Strong words. Next up are some words from Fire Chief Eric Garcia. Quote, it's shameful that Tinhorn Flats allowed people within their establishment while the front doors were still locked and in violation of the judge's orders. If a fire had broken out during this event, people could have been trapped inside, which may have resulted in the loss of life. Unquote. The chief fails to mention that other witnesses state customers were not in the restaurant, but outside the restaurant on an outdoor patio. No mention either from the chief of access through back doors, which must have been unlocked so patrons can get in there, right? Next, Chief of Police Scott LaChase, he gave his opinion as a seasoned law enforcement professional. Quote, we are utterly disappointed in Tinhorn Flats' behavior and do not support their actions as they continue to put the community at risk. They should be complying with the court's orders and not be illegally operating. Unquote. When I say seasoned, I mean seasoned. LaChase worked for LAPD from 1970 to 2002, and then was hired by Burbank in 2010. The guy spent over half a century cashing government paychecks. And as we know, those never ever stop, do they? They are guaranteed, no matter what. Do you think Chief LaChasse has any idea what it's like to run a restaurant where nothing is guaranteed? Owner-operated restaurants might just be the toughest business of all. The hardest working person is invariably the owner. I know several restaurant owners. They are first to arrive in the morning, and they turn out the lights when they close, usually well after midnight. You think a guy like LaChasse, with his guaranteed paycheck, has any idea how hard it is to open a restaurant and keep it going? It took a friend of mine 5 years to put together sufficient investors to open his restaurant. And at the end of each month, when he has to pay out shares to those investors and salaries to employees and bills to suppliers and utilities and taxes, insurance and rent, how much is left over for my friend? Let me tell you, he is not living large, even though the restaurant was very successful, until government lockdowns put it at the brink of bankruptcy. Do you wonder how Chief LaChasse lives? Well, as of this moment, compensation for Burbank City employees is still listed online, and it looks like the chief is doing very nicely. His base pay is over $250,000, but wait, it gets better. When you add in the cafeteria plan, which one must assume is free lunches, plus an additional $85,000 under the vague category of, quote, other pay and cash benefits, unquote, the chief's total compensation for keeping Burbank safe from dangerous restaurants is $343,957.60. Wow. Add that sum to the substantial pension he's getting from LAPD, and it's likely Chief LaChasse is living very, very large. And best of all, for the chief, he'll never have a bad month. If Tin Horde Flats has a shitty month and doesn't sell enough beer burgers, the owner loses money, lots of it. If the chief doesn't catch any bank robbers or burglars, is his pay reduced? No, it's not. And what did the chief have to do to launch his extremely lucrative career in law enforcement? Did it take him years of gathering investors and sun up to midnight workdays? Mm-mm. All he had to do was pass a test, answer some questions, do a few push-ups, presso, instant career, and continuous and obviously escalating paychecks. As well as the chief is doing, he's not at the top of the Burbank food chain. Above him is a fire battalion chief. That guy's base pay is a mere $169,000, but when you add in his overtime pay, a staggering $202,452, plus his cafeteria plan of $16,920, and that wonderful, quote, other pay and cash benefits, unquote, of $31,212, the fireman is taking in a robust income of $419,487.95. That guy must put out a lot of fires. And he must get hungry doing that too. With that cafeteria plan, it looks as if the Burbank taxpayers are buying him a whole lot of lunches, almost $17,000 worth in a year. Top earner of all city employees is the guy who runs water and power. His compensation was over $445,000. There are 626 City of Burbank city employees listed on that page. The top 150 of them are all making in excess of $200,000 a year. And all of them, all 626, make over $100,000. A year. By the way, city manager Justin Hess, who is also quite concerned about the dangers Tin Horn Flats poses to the city of Burbank, he seems, like the two chiefs, unconcerned about some other risky goings-on. Up the street, it has a very busy airport where, several times an hour, every hour, planes loaded with hundreds of people packed in shoulder to shoulder and front to back, zero social distancing, those planes arrive and depart the city. Why aren't Garcia and Hess and Lachaise concerned about those planes, which are far more efficient vectors of viral spread than an outdoor patio? Burbank is also home to a massive IKEA, a Home Depot, and a Costco store, all of which have remained open. But nobody in Burbank officialdom seems concerned about the COVID spreading potential those places pose. I have quite a few listeners who are in the early stages of their careers, and they often ask for advice, and I try to help them. So let me give those listeners some blanket counsel. If you are looking for a job, skip the private sector and work for government. That's where there's real money, and not just Cadillac benefits, Rolls-Royce benefits, including retirement after 20 years, and wallet-busting pensions. And they buy you lunch. Looks like in Burbank, that maxes out at $20,000 a year. So let's see, if you work 50 weeks a year, that's 250 days. The city of Burbank, which is actually the tax-paying citizens of Burbank, well, they'll cover your lunch up to $80 a day. Does your company do that? You ain't going to get that working for Target or Amazon or some software startup. I asked a number of people at the Tin Horn Flats rally if they believed their protests would be effective. I asked if perhaps their time and efforts might be better spent peacefully protesting outside the homes of the Burbank officials who were trying to destroy the restaurant. Most of them answered that they wanted to raise awareness for Tin Horn Flats, but not to make a nuisance. Most of them are also afraid to be identified, first names only. How sad is that? These were not criminals, they were law-abiding citizens exercising their constitutional right to make their feelings known about a group of vindictive, petty, power-crazed government parasites. How awful that they feel they must do it anonymously. It shows how far we have fallen as a nation. What I hoped to see there was some razor-toothed attorney in a $5,000 suit who could take on the bullying bureaucrats, who could put together a team of social media influencers and community managers to raise awareness and outrage on a national level, not with a few motorists who happen to drive by. Blowing car horns and waving flags achieves nothing. For a brief period, Mark Garagos was representing Tin Horn Flats, but no longer is. As the shadows lengthened, I stopped to talk to one more man, an older gentleman, who was a Vietnam vet, a guy who knew something about combat. The rules of combat are the same, whether in a war zone or a bureaucracy. When I suggested to him that they move the protests to the homes of the bureaucrats, he said, "Hey, that's a hell of an idea." We talked for a while longer, and I asked him how he thought the city of Burbank, as well as the nation at large, had descended so far from liberty and into actual tyranny. Here's what he said.
"The American people are willfully ignorant and determined to remain that way."
If you'd like to help the Tin Horn Flats cause, they have a GoFundMe page. Visit there and plug Tin Horn Flats into the search bar. They're going to need every dollar. As I drove away from that group of patriots, I hoped they might be the start of something big, the spark of a movement that realigns the relationship between government and private citizens. Stop calling them officials and get back to calling them what they're supposed to be, public servants, working for us, not the other way around. Of all my hundreds of episodes, this is the first that ventured into the realm of journalism. I hope you enjoyed it. If so, please tell your friends about this show. If you really enjoyed it, why not help me keep it going? Visit thatlarryshow.com and support this show through Patreon, PayPal, or a check via snail mail works just as well. And that bypasses all the middlemen. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and a new social platform, No Agenda, which I'm liking a lot because it's free of censors. You can find links to everything I just mentioned at thatlarryshow.com, including a bunch of photographs I took at the rally. I have a very exciting bonus episode coming up in a few days about a strange childhood experience that still haunts me today and almost caused a divorce. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit. Thank you.